So before I get into this episode, I'd like to bring to light something I've been working on. If you're subscribed to my blog, you've probably heard of my Hunter Up initiative. If not, I'll try to sum it up for you. I'm afraid that hunting as we know it can go away, especially with the declining numbers of new hunters each year. I think it's so very important that we take the time and make a true effort to take the bull by the horns and each and every one of us personally introduce one new hunter into hunting. I'm also very unhappy with the hunting community as a whole, and its lack of respect for fellow hunters. We as a community spend a lot of time bashing each other over stupidity instead of promoting one another. The amount of energy that we spend arguing can be spent on more important things like conservation or introducing a kid into hunting. So I'm issuing all of you a challenge to take the time to help fellow hunters, introduce kids, and for God's sakes, stop promoting content that puts hunters in a bad light. Resist the urge to engage in these foolish arguments that we have. Stop the bashing. When you feel strongly about something or you disagree with a hunter, a fellow hunter, take that subject off social media, message that person directly, have a one-on-one debate about it. You're either going to leave understanding where that other person's coming from, or you're going to have said your piece and you move on. We're not all going to agree with the way others do things. And we don't have to, but what we should be doing is supporting all legal hunting because all we're doing is showing weakness and unrest within our community. And this just leaves chinks in the armor that let hunting, anti-hunting groups tear down what you have built, what we've all built. And we need to support hunting and hunters and use our efforts for good, like conservation and hunters education and introducing new hunters instead of wasting our time arguing about who predator hunts, who uses a Matthews and who uses a Hoyt. I mean, the stupid arguments that go on is just, it's okay to have debate. It's okay to have opinion. But really think about what it does when you argue on social media. You got to understand if there's something that's negative out there and you keep pushing it, I can't stress enough, if you don't understand the way Facebook algorithm works or Instagram or any of these, it's you comment on something, oh, you're an idiot for putting that out there. And you commenting on that just pushes that content up the ladder further and further until it gets wider and wider and the net gets larger and larger. And the more people can see it, the more people comment on it, the more people can see it. And eventually it's going to get in front of the eyes of somebody who's an anti-hunter and not just arguing about the hunt. And it's not good for us. So please, stop the bashing and, get out there and help introduce hunters into hunting. Thanks again. And this episode, you can thank Phoenix Shooting Bags for bringing it to you. And this Hunter Initiative, they're helping me out with it. I appreciate what they're doing. And let's just jump into the next episode. Thank you. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot and Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we have Aaron Schneider on with the phone on the computer, actually not the phone, and we are going to do a little storytelling session, a little campfire session, and just catch up with some of his adventures and pick his brain a little bit. What's going on, man?
Not much. Thanks for having me on. I
Oh yeah,
finally got a
thanks.
break.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've tried a couple of times to make it happen. So either one or the other has a conflict. But you're a busy man. It's all right, man. We got you on finally.
Yeah, it's definitely busy. Things are slowing down for the next week and then cranks back up again, so.
Yeah, you said you is it you that has a go tag, or are you going with somebody, friend?
A buddy's got a go tag, and we're gonna go. I can't imagine it's gonna take more than 5 days, but you never know. It depends, if we can't, obviously, can't
Can't
find one
find
big enough that we'll
yeah
find
yeah
goats. It's just a matter of finding the right one. But yeah, that's next week, and then I get head to Alberta shortly after that.
Is he doing it with the rifle or a bow?
I think he's going to bring both, which normally means you're going to shoot it with a rifle if you bring both. But he's a pretty dedicated guy. I would imagine that I don't think he'll crank out the rifle unless it's just a tank. And I'm like, yeah, dude, that's one you don't want to pass up, or he deems it that way, and then he might shoot it. But it's not that difficult to shoot a goat with a bow in Colorado, so that's not going to be the problem. It's really going to be if we just find one that
Finding.
big one, yeah.
I did the same thing on my sheep hunt. I brought the rifle, but I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it with the bow. But I'll bring the rifle just in case there's that one that's way the hell out there and he's just a dozer, you know, and I don't wanna pass that up, 200-inch ram or something crazy like that, 185-inch ram, something. But no, I mean, my head set some goals. I was like, I wanna do it with the bow. I want to get it on film, and I just want it to be at least 8 years or older, and that was my only three goals, you know. So I wasn't like, oh, it has to be X amount of inches or whatever. But if I saw one like that, I might have broken out the, if it wasn't in a good spot, I might have broken out the rifle. So, but yeah,
Yeah,
and
I think the
then
biggest problem we're going to have is freezing to death at 13 to 14,000 feet this time of year.
yeah.
It'll be an interesting hunt.
Is there snow falling yet or no? Up
A
there,
little
up
bit,
there.
always up there at this time of year there's some, but there's supposed to be a storm coming in Wednesday, so it'll be interesting. I don't think a lot of people realize how unforgiving 13,000
Oh,
feet
it's brutal.
can be. Yeah, it's right. And I don't like being cold, being honest. I don't like being cold at all. And I don't mean cold. I don't mean frigid, just, no fun and can't feel my fingers cold. It's and maybe it's because I'm getting a little bit older to where, I want to have fun. Not it's not gonna be fun all the time, but it does need to be fun most of the time.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I swear, the older I get, the just like I just want to be comfortable, and I want to like I stopped doing backcountry hunts a while ago, and it was mainly because I got married and have three kids, and I just need to kind of be able to be in touch all the time with my business and stuff. But like I found that I'm so much happier and I do so much better out in the field. Like, I've been sleeping in motels for like the last 8 or 9 years or something. I mean, I still do some camping humps and some, tent hunts and whatever, but it's just like I'd rather drive. I'd rather get up 2 hours early, drive a 45 minutes or whatever to the trailhead and hike in an hour as opposed to being already there. And get, like, I feel like I get better sleep. I feel like I get, I don't know, and having a shower and all that shit. Like, I don't know. Something
Oh
about those
yeah,
creature comforts that make me just
and I don't
refresh
mind
me.
back. Oh yeah, no, that's a fact. And I don't mind. I really like backpack hunts, and I don't mind the climbing. For everybody's different, right? Like I don't mind starving. I don't mind climbing. I don't, but I do not like freezing. And so
Yeah,
for me,
cold's bad.
I mean, we just got back. We did 12 days on the mule deer hunt. Turned around, went right back in. That didn't really. That doesn't bug me, but like you give me 6 days of rain, I'll stab someone's eye out. Certain things, you can make it through it. It's just like we're talking about, it's not fun. And backpack hunting and single digits to 15 degree,
Oh,
20
that's
degree
not
weather
fun at
with,
all.
yeah, 40 mile an hour winds, I'll do it. And it's not like it's one of those things that's impossible, insurmountable. It's just after a while, I'll be like, yeah, man, you should have got it done that first 4 or 5 days because I'm going home. I gave you my best I had for that many days. I'm gonna go have fun now. I want to feel my fingers again. But
I saw you got a nice muley on that hunt, and that was a nice buck.
Yeah, it took long enough. I pretty goal oriented guy, so with the recurve, I elk was definitely not the priority. I mean, the season actually shows it. We hunt elk hunted elk 2 days, and main priority, I hadn't killed a high country buck with a recurve. I'd shot one in 2016, and the one I shot wasn't really a high country buck. I say it wasn't really. It wasn't. It was a road hunting buck. I mean, shot it a mile off the road or less.
Got it.
So I really had a couple goals. Obviously, one being shoot it with a recurve, and the other one I wanted to just shoot a real old mature buck. And as it turns out, I could there's I passed up a ton of bucks, and we went to stretch. Well, we were supposed to stay 15 days, but we ran out of food, so we stayed 12 total, 10 during season, and then came out. I had some issues. I got cow parsnip, whatever. My hands swelled up, got blisters all
Oh,
over
sure.
them, so I had to go to the doctor for that anyway. And then stayed home a couple of days, went back in, and got one down. So, and it ended up being, we'll have it aged, but at least 6-year-old, just an
Nice.
ancient buck. So.
Nice. That's awesome. You speaking of rain, I was in Oregon. I was hunting with Shannon Mobbs and Corey Ford, hunting Rosie's on the coast. The first day I got there, weather was nice. Got on a bull that evening, very first evening. I was like, oh, cool, the benefits of hunting with guys who really know their shit out here, and then the very next day, that evening, I actually shot a bull. Or a shot at a bull, I should say. I grazed him across his brisket. I don't know if I got the wrong range, or because it was a splitting pin situation, if I chose the wrong pins to split. And I usually don't do this. I mean, like, that's kind of like what I'm known for, is being able to like pull up and shoot like fast, because I was a speed 3D champion. I shoot coyotes on the run. Like, that's like my shtick. And for some reason, I think I might have fucked up, I think I might have picked the wrong pin. And because I was shooting a very heavy setup. I think if I was shooting my Schwacker, my normal, arrow setup, where I'm shooting, 300 feet per second almost, or 290, whatever it is, as opposed to I'm shooting 260 a second, I think that extra speed I would have hit, 4 or 5 inches higher, and I would have an elk. I would have that elk. Because I think, I really think it sounded like it when it hit, and the amount of blood that was there. I mean, I tracked him for a mile and a half, and I mean, there were spots where he would drop like, 2 foot circle of blood, where he stood for a couple of minutes, And we were just pull and then out of nowhere, just dried up. Just completely dry. We found a couple where he brushed along the brush, went another half a mile, just kind of following tracks and whatever, and just, I mean, spent 6 hours looking for the damn thing. I was neck high in freaking reprod, and it was sad, because I was like, man, I think I'm, you don't get a whole lot of opportunity at Roosevelt's. I was like, I think my opportunity just came and went. And then it rained literally all day long, every day, and wind too on top of it, and fog, of course, for the next 4 or 5 days. And it was, I mean, I still had opportunities, but like you said, it was just freaking miserable. I soaked through 2 pairs of boots, that I had freshly waxed and everything. So just to give you an idea how much water I was in the whole time,
I'm from Oregon originally. That's why I don't hunt Oregon anymore. It sucks.
Oh man. And so that was only my second time ever going for Rosie's. My very first time was in Washington, and I was literally soaked to the bone every single day on that hunt as well. And I was like, I keep hearing that this is the elk season's supposed to be the dry season here. It's like,
It's bad on the west side, and some people like that tropical, or that, I guess, whatever, that
rainforest.
rainforest or coastal rainforest. I'm not one of them. I mean, it's cool to take photos of when it's not raining, and I bring it up like this, or I bring it to people. When you break up with someone, you've had a relationship for a long time, and then maybe later on you think about getting back together. And when you're thinking of getting back together, you're thinking of the good times. You seem to like leave out the bad. That's Washington and Oregon when you think about moving back or hunting it. I think a lot of people forget that it rains 200 plus days a year, and
Freaking nuts,
there,
man.
yeah, it's just nuts. It's not for me. I mean, thank goodness I killed some Roosevelts when I was younger, both with a bow and a gun, so it's not something I really have to go back to
Right.
do to check the box.
Yep.
That box ain't getting checked probably for me again because I hate rain badly, and I hate
Oh yeah,
underbrush
but
really
now you got to deal
dangerous.
with the recurve,
Yeah, I don't know if that's gonna happen. There's certain things that I want to get an antelope with the recurve. Is what, like, for example, and this year we tried a little bit, but we didn't put enough pre-scouting effort into it, and that'll be kind of a goal next year. But again, it has to be fun. I'm not saying there's some areas I'd like to backpack hunt for both bench leg mule deer blacktails and bench leg Rosie or Rocky Mountains. They don't get count in the book, and in some you shoot and they're blatant, well,
Freaking
100%
Rosies all.
Roosevelts, and then other ones are like they're Rocky Mountains. I mean, in the same general area. Where I'm from is Detroit Lake, Oregon, which is right down that Pacific Crest Trail area. And yeah, and those are bench legs. They're east of I-25, so or excuse me, I-5. So.
I have this like curse with the Northwest. I don't know what it is. I've been now five. I've been going to Northern California, so I've really hunted in Oregon. I did hunt once for blacktail in Washington many years ago, like 12 years ago. And I had an opportunity and I didn't take it because I thought I was going to get a better shot. And I waited for him to turn, and he didn't turn. He just turned and went.
Left.
I should have. I had a head-on shot at 30 yards. I don't know what the hell I didn't take it, but anyway, I can't seem to get one, man. I've been on giant bucks too, like really, really good bucks. Guys are like, "How do you see all these big bucks?" And da 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 da. I'm like, because I hunt different. I mean, Northern California, I notice a lot of guys, they do the still hunting thing, and they just walk around the hills with their bow. In Arizona, we call that taking your bow for a walk in the woods, because it doesn't work very well. I know a few guys that do it very well, but it doesn't work very well for me because I'm not a sneaky guy. But yeah, man, and I just keep shit in the bed. I don't know what it is, but so now it's like in my head, I think. I think it's in my head now. I gotta break the curse. I used to have a curse in South Dakota for whitetail, and then I finally broke that, and now I've killed three. But so I just got to get that one on the ground and then alleviate myself of the monkey on the back. But the Northwest has been kicking my ass every time I go there. I have great experience. It's not like I go there and I'm like, oh, I get skunked and I don't see anything. That's a whole different. That's a whole different shitty, but I'm like, I'm there. I'm like, I mean, even those days that it rained here in Oregon, I think I had legitimately at least four opportunities where I was under 50 yards and I could have, made a marginal shot through some brush, up his ass or some shit like that. But it was like, and I had one another really good opportunity at 50 yards, and we just thought he was going to come in closer. He was t like taking really slow steps, so it would have been a walking shot. At 50, was that 48 actually? But I don't know, so I didn't take that shot. But I
But
don't know.
definitely hunting the wet side is more stick bow friendly, just for the simple
Oh,
fact
it's
you're
everything's
going to shoot
close.
them close no matter what. I believe me, the stick bow thing or what, the mule deer, I'm about day 10 and my hands are swollen. I got an infection and I've missed 3 and 13, 12, 5. And, I was thinking, yeah, half this mountain would be dead if I had a compound, but it's not the same for me. You know what I mean? I don't get that adrenaline rush, but, the hunting the west side is what I was leading up to can be a lot of the same way. Like you can have them at 20 yards and just not see them ever. Like it's just, and I don't know where Shannon hunts. I don't actually know Shannon. I just know of him. I mean, I know he obviously has got a pretty good idea what he's doing. He's pretty successful, but, I I've had a few people invite me in the last couple of years to hunt. And you know, I'm not saying that I wouldn't go hunt like a premium area, you know, that would be fun, but hunting public land, Roosevelt's for me is about like smashing my fucking finger with a hammer. In the wet time, or you know, in the when it's wet, when it's dry, it's great. But a lot of things for me is photography. Pretty hard to photograph stuff out there when it's raining all day. And so a lot of the, you know, and I get chuckleheads commenting on that all the time. Am I going to become a guy that doesn't shoot any animals and just shoots photos? But half of it for me is shooting photos. I like
It's catch and
capturing the moment.
release.
I like capturing the adventure. And if your freaking camera's in your pack the whole time because you're afraid you're going to ruin it, you're not catching the adventure a whole lot. So.
Yeah, speaking of, and I think I got it right here. I have this little camera that I use in shitty ass weather. It's called the Quad Proof. It's just a little handy cam though. You know, it's not, you're not gonna get like film quality video out of it, but it's quad proof. It's waterproof, windproof, shockproof, and dustproof. So it's
Oh
pretty
yeah.
badass.
That's cool. Is this a Copenhagen friendly podcast?
Yeah, go ahead, man. It's labeled as explicit
That's
explicit
good.
lyrics and everything else. It's a adult only show.
Yeah, the I run you know, I don't do as much filming, you know, I'm running DSLRs and they do okay, but Washington or Oregon's, it'll ruin any
Yeah,
photo eventually if
those
you're
are
too
just
wet.
water resistant. I mean, and when shit's when it's foggy, I don't care what you got, it's gonna get inside, you know, like the vapors get inside there. It's nuts.
Yeah, no, for sure. But we're getting ready to go hunt Alberta. Well, we're going to goat hunt, but I mean the next one where I'm going to get to shoot is Alberta. And that's a good hunt. I mean, everything's dead there. It's just grass, but you know, good opportunities and not what I thought it would be. When I went up the first time, I thought. Honestly, I thought it would be easy. Yeah, wrong.
No, it's there's a lot of country, so there's a lot of places for them to go, even though there's a
I tell
lot
you
of
what,
animals.
that part we can get around. The fact they get road hunted so much, that part you can't stop. And so, you know, you can, like you say, you can eventually find them. You're going to find deer. There's a lot of nooks and crannies, but if you, I mean, do your diligence of walking around and checking every nook and cranny and being, you know, not an idiot about it, you're going to find deer. I just didn't think they'd be as sketchy as they were. And they're pretty, where we were at, they're pretty sketchy, but we still get, they still got to sleep. I mean, you can still kill them, but you definitely can empty some coolies out fast if you pop your fat head up and they see you. And it's like they are yelling to their friends as they're emptying out the bottom of it, come with me. And it's like a wave. And then at the bottom, you blew two deer out, and at the bottom, 30 of them are coming out of it. And it's like, ah. But
It's been what, like 12 years. I did a 9-day hunt up there. I had a moose tag, a muley tag, and I want to say a whitetail tag. I had three tags.
that sounds about right, yeah.
And I got skunked.
Yeah.
I didn't, I mean, I seen a lot of deer, just couldn't, I couldn't find one that was worth a shit. And I didn't see a moose that had a paddle that was bigger than my palms of my hands. So I was like, we seen one cow and a calf and one bull that was, you know, a yearling bull, like this baby. And I was just like, fuck, man. And that's what I mainly went up there for, was the moose. But that was up by Caroline, I think it was called, in Alberta.
Yeah, I've never been there, but I know I've seen it. We're down, you know, more towards a Medicine Hat, I guess. With, you know, closer to the border, I
But
guess.
yeah,
Cl you know,
lower.
yeah, but you know, I entered that whole Alberta thing with a stick, right? My first year shooting the recurve. So, I had I mean, I don't know what it'd score. I biggest deer I've seen, 220 plus,
Oh,
bedded
wow.
at 55 yards for 3, 4 hours on me and got as close as I
Jesus.
could. And so that was a big punch, you know, kick in the dick, because I, you know, that was difficult. But I ended up shooting a great buck, and but man, there are big deer in there, and you know, it's fun because it's at least you know you're going to see them. You may not
Right.
have great opportunities every day, but you do know you're gonna see some deer, and more than most likely each day you're going to see at least, you may not get on them, but you're going to see one tank that at least keeps
Right.
you going, that you know they're there.
Yeah, I'd much rather have that than freaking go and not see shit. Like, I mean, you don't get one, you don't get one, but it's great when you go out and you get a bunch of experiences, a bunch of tries at it, you know. Nothing worse than just going out there and be like, I can't find freaking shit, you know. And,
Thank God that hasn't happened to me too much. It did happen
yeah.
on that grizzly hunt. Saw one bear in 11 days. That'll make
Yeah.
you stab yourself in the eyeball with a
Fuck
dull
yeah.
stick.
Hell
Snowing
yeah.
every day on a backpack hunt.
No, thank you. Ass, hard pass. Cold, miserable, and not seeing shit. That's, I mean, if I'm seeing shit, I don't care how freaking miserable I am. I can usually endure. But you know, last year in South Dakota, we were freaking freezing our asses off. Oh my God, man, I couldn't feel my fingers for shit. But we were on deer, morning to night, all day long. Matter of fact, I just got him back yesterday. That buck
That's
right
when
there
you
in the
got him.
corner. Yeah, and it was, you know, it was miserable as hell. But I was like, yeah, you know, there's deer.
That's like tree stand hunting. People mention, hey, I can't believe you can sit in a tree stand or a ground blind. I'm like, man, I can do whatever when there's animals around. I'll
Animals,
sit.
exactly.
I've sat multiple, well, I say multiple, a few times from dusk till dawn in the rut because it doesn't seem like it that long. And
Right.
you know, the way I don't film, you know, I may have a GoPro strapped to my head, but generally I've got my pack on the right side. It's wide open with the camera, you know, ready to roll. And I've got, you know, whatever it's going to take for me to stay warm enough. And in reality, like, if you compare a 4 hour sit with no animals and an 8 hour sit with an animal every 30 minutes, I don't know any one person that wouldn't say that 8 hours went a hell of a lot faster than the four. Because
Oh
when there's
yeah.
stuff around, that's like ground blind hunting for turkeys. When you're seeing turkeys, it'll be like, Jesus, it's noon already? And
Yep.
seeing turkeys all morning or coming in, compared to, you know, you're sitting there for 2.5 and haven't heard a gobble, you're like, okay, this blows. And I'm not the
Oh yeah.
greatest turkey hunter in the world.
I'm terrible.
Kansas and Nebraska will make you look like a great turkey hunter, even if you can't call, because they
I've heard
just
that.
walk around. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my I got a lease in South Dakota that we have a shit ton of Merriams. I haven't hunted it for turkey yet, but there's so many turkey on there. It's ridiculous. I'm gonna have to go because turkey hunting here in Arizona sucks. And I usually don't travel for turkey hunting because it's like that time of year. I got like a pact with my wife because I hunt so I pretty much hunt from July to February. You know, I'm gone like every other week or whatever, every 3 weeks, and. So now it's like once summertime and springtime, whatever come along, I stop
Gotta
hunting.
chill.
Yeah. So
What
otherwise
do
I
you
might
got
come.
coming up next?
I'm actually taking the recurve and I'm going to New York because I was supposed to go Chad Roberts. I don't know if you know who he is. And I
I
were
heard of
going,
him.
we were going to Idaho. And then my wife's cousin decided he wanted to get married the week that I was supposed to go,
You
and
slap the shit out of that
I'm really close
guy.
with him, and my wife was giving me a hard time. I was like, babe, but I already made these plans. I already spent $1,000 in freaking tags, and you know, and I finally I just gave in. I said, you know what, let me do the right thing, and let me go to this wedding. So I'm leaving 3 days, 3 days early to get 3 days of whitetail hunting in. I'm gonna take the struggle stick with me. I was
What
gonna
are you
try.
shooting for a struggle stick?
I usually shoot. I have a reflex deflex. Jesus Christ, Diamondback Venom that I shoot, 55 pounds, and I have a few bows that I've built. But those are all like reflex deflex longbows. Because it's a tree stand hunt, I'm actually gonna take my Bear Magnum 48, the little short guy, because it's so much easier to wield in a tree. And I shoot it really well to about 25, 30 yards max. But it's tree stand hunting, so I'm not really going to be shooting much past that anyway. So I figure.
You up in northern New York or?
Nah, it's Long Island.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know anything about. I was stationed in New York
Dude,
and killed a couple of whitetails. I don't know shit about Long Island.
I used to go up north. I used to hunt up by Binghamton and West Winfield. My dad and I for years, or Deposit, we used to go, and I mean, every year we kill deer up there, even in the 80s and whatever. And then I started bow hunting Long Island in the early, or the late 80s, early 90s, when I first started bow hunting. I've been going back almost every year. I've killed literally at least two deer every year over there
Like
that I've gone. There's a couple of years that I've skipped,
a
but
120 buck, a good buck in there, 130.
oh yeah. But this is
Yeah.
here. I'll show you a buck that I killed. I got featured that guy right. It's kind of hard to see him, but that one right above me is
Yeah.
high 150s. Swamp Donkey. I killed him in 2016. I spent 4 years trying to kill that fucking buck. He was a 170 buck the year before he got hit by a car, and he
Oh
regressed a
yeah, that'll
shit
slow
ton.
down some growth. Yeah.
Yeah, he was had the same exact frame, like as far as the points are all the same. The cheaters, he's got two cheaters sticking out the side, but he was width, like he was. I mean, I'll send you a picture. I have a picture of him the year before. From the tree stand where I couldn't take a shot, and so I snapped a picture of him, and he's so much wider. He's probably like yeah, at least a 170. He lost like I don't know how many, like 20 inches easy. But
Yeah, that's a big buck for up there.
well, my taxidermist shot a 204. My
Yeah, that's a
taxidermist
good deer.
on Long Island, and I got two pictures last year of two bucks that were over 200.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they're getting
it's
bigger
not
and
known
better.
for that for sure.
Well, less and less people are hunting, and the agriculture is really good, and the habitat is, yeah, it's mostly good. It needs some burning done, a lot of undergrowth, but a lot of ticks. Such a shitty part about hunting there.
Yeah.
But God. Yeah, one in six people have like Lyme disease or
Lyme
something.
disease. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, so I'll be spraying all my shit down with that Sawyer pyrethrin or permethrin, whatever.
It's supposed to work.
It
I haven't
does.
used it. My buddy uses it, but
I
we're
use it
not
all
in
the
a
time.
tick heavy environment. When I if I go back to Idaho next year, I'll be spraying myself down.
Yeah, I use it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah,
When I what?
Colorado, we hunt above tree line. They just
Oh
Aren't
yeah, they're
really
not up
used.
there. Yeah, any place that gets like stupid cold and has snow for a really long time usually doesn't have, unless you have super high densities of deer and other animals. But
Yeah.
not where in the West do we have any high densities of anything? You don't start getting that high density until you like hit the Midwest. Like, Ohio has a lot of ticks.
Yeah.
I
I was
remember
supposed
having.
to hunt Ohio this year, but I don't think I'm gonna make it.
I
If
haven't
I
been in a long time. You know what's really good? January is really good to go hunt there.
I'll be down in Alabama for that. I get a kick out of
Alabama's
how
good.
many people are amazed I can tree stand hunt.
Yeah.
I really like tree stand hunting. And as much of a Western hunter as I am, meaning
Right.
alpine, above tree
Right.
line, yeah, that's my passion. But you talk about hunting timber out west or hunting whitetails, unless you've done it, and I've hunted whitetails off and on for, shit, I'm getting old. 18, 16 years now. So not a ton, but enough.
A lot,
And the
yeah.
first time I sitting there and I heard a buck grunt, or the first, you hear them, especially like if you're in a like an acorn area where they're crunching coming in, or you hear the leaves, it's just different. I mean, it's not
Yeah.
the same as hunting elk. I'm not saying one's better or worse, but being in an elevated position above anything, waiting for it to come in is difficult to not become addicted to. And yeah, you can sit for a long time and it gets boring, but I've been lucky enough to where I've went with guys that put me in the right spot. It's not like I know
Right.
what I'm doing, but I can shoot, so that's all I need to do and not move a lot. And I am horrible. I got to get better. I'm the guy that hears something and snaps his head back like you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
So I've really had to work on not moving as much, because it's just, if you're not used to it and you weren't raised with it,
Yeah.
looking around, yeah, that's
It's
work. So I
hard.
have to get a lot better at that.
It's hard. It's hard not to
Yeah.
be fidgety up there too. Like especially like I mean, look at me. I'm moving around here, sitting here talking to you. Like I can't sit still for 2 seconds. But
The phone's gotten me too. That'll screw you.
Oh yeah, that
Facebook
kind
and
of slow
Instagram
you down.
will
Yeah.
get
Oh yeah, looking at it and then you're like, oh shit, there's a freaking deer right there.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
does slow you down. You're right about that, because you're not moving a lot. But
Yeah.
I've also, like you talked about, done and looked left, and I'm like, oh great, my bow's on the easy hanger, my phone's in my hand, so I'm trying to put
Right.
it under my crotch and stand up and grab my bow or grab my bow,
Yep.
but it does keep you from fidgety, or me anyway, it does more.
Yeah, it helps me out just sitting there throwing texts out and whatever. But no, man, I've got a huge passion for whitetail. I've killed a lot more whitetail than I've killed anything else. But it's only because I had more opportunity. And when I got into the industry, I mean, Western hunting wasn't as sexy as it is now. It wasn't so as romantic as
Little too
everybody's made
sexy
it.
now. Yeah.
You know, the big thing was whitetail. Everybody wanted to be a Bill Jordan, or whatever, and or Stan Potts or something like that. And I, so I did a lot of trips to Illinois and a lot of trips to the Midwest. That was like I waited all, and I lived in Arizona. I've been living here since '91. So I Western hunted because I lived here and I liked it. I enjoyed it. I have a real passion for coos deer. I love mule deer, love elk hunting. I'm getting more every year. I feel like I'm like loving elk hunting a little bit more and more though. Like, I don't know what it is. I think it's the communication thing and learning how to, the vocalizations and stuff like that, just kind of getting more and more interesting to me. But I love to hunt everything. I mean, shit, man. I talk to guys that are like, oh, I'm just a mule deer guy, or oh, I'm just a whitetail guy, and I can't see it. I couldn't see just hunting one species. It just, I don't know.
Yeah,
I get
this
excited
is.
about freaking hunting on javelina. I mean, it's
Yeah.
stupid pig, you know?
What do you do for work for a real job?
Oh, I don't work. Just kidding. No, I own a swimming pool construction company. I don't really build pools anymore. I haven't really built pools on a consistent basis for about 8 years. So it's mostly service repair and remodel. I do a lot of remodeling,
Yeah.
but my main bread and butter is service and repair, because that like just so it kind of works out nice for me, because my busiest times of year is spring and summer, and so fall and winter it's easy for me to step back. And I developed an app that tracks my guys where they are, so at a glance I can just sit there and macro manage my crews and whatnot. From that's why part of the reason why I stopped hunting backcountry, so I can do that. Like I can't tell you how many times I've been on a stalk and I'd be like, I get a phone call and I'm like, all right, Rico, you gotta go do this, go do
Yeah.
that. I put the phone back in my pocket and I'm back, back on the stalk or whatever. Just fielding an email or whatever up on the side of the hill, and just kind of but it affords me a lot of time to do what I want. And when I'm not hunting and I'm home, I spend a lot of time with my kids. I spend a lot of time with my wife. I'm here to help all the time. So like if I was to calculate, if I had a regular 9 to 5, the time that I would be spending away from the house or away from my wife and kids is actually would have been more than I do now when I go hunting or whatever.
Yeah.
I've cut out a lot of stuff. I had a production company for a long time. I had my TV show for a long time, 16 years actually. Or no, 14 years, and I stopped in 2016. And then like I had the hunting channel online, so I still have some online businesses and stuff that I, require my attention. But again, it's all mostly passive income.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What do you think, just me being the payer and payee, well, not so much now that we started our podcast, just because we kind of try to neutral, but what do you how do I put this without getting bashed later? It's
Who cares what
interesting for
freaking people
me.
say?
Yeah, showing up at some of the different shows and seeing the old guard and the new guard and the vast difference in opinions of TV shows, is print dying? How valid is sponsoring a TV show anymore? How valid is sponsoring or half or full page ads and print magazines? As far as on a business standpoint, if you're a guy who owns a product, a company that produces a product, what's more valid these days, or where do you get the biggest bang for the buck? Talking, you can definitely see the old guard, new guard type of a thing in some of the conversations, which, I'm pretty introverted. I stay out of pretty much everything as much as I can anyway. It's a miracle if I even go to a show, but I know what we see that works, and I know what hasn't worked, and I know the dollar amount to get involved in some of these different things.
Ridiculous.
It is, and I feel bad because if I have a guy who's a friend, a legit friend, like friend before the industry, who wants me to sponsor his show, and it's $15,000 at a minimum, and that's a minimum. I mean, that's bottom dollar. You're barely getting on there. Okay, well, what the ROI, right? I mean, are you getting 30,000 in sales? You got to pretty much sell double what you're paying them. So are you getting 30,000 in sales from that? I think a lot of it depends on the person, meaning if that person has remained not only valid but hasn't sold his soul to the devil and people trust their word,
That's
I
the biggest
think
thing.
the dollar amount can be definitely worth it. And then in other ways, certain people have moved around a bit or whatever, and maybe their name is still good as far as hunting, but maybe not good as far as what gear to use. And we're faced with it. In fact, I got a marketing meeting when we get off this thing to kind of we may cull the herd a bit with what we're doing and shift fire a bit just because of some things we're putting money into that. We're just not getting anything back. I've lost friends over it. It sucks.
It sucks, yeah. I mean, it's forever. Well, marketing is always it's a perception thing, so it's always evolving. And so I started online TV, back in 2004 before it was a thing. And the Hey guys, just a real quick break. Pardon the interruption. I want to talk to you about becoming a patron of the show. It's super easy. You just go to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters on my Podbean account, and at the top right-hand corner, you'll see a green button that says "Become a Patron." Or if you're using the Podbean app, it's right there. Just click on the button, "Become a Patron," from any of the episodes. I really go out of my way not to bombard you with a bunch of ads and clutter up the episodes. I really like to keep it as educational and as valuable as possible. I'd like to add to that value by adding some bonus episodes that are going to be just for the patrons only. I'm going to release a few that are strictly for those of you who have contributed to the podcast. It really goes a long way, and I want to say it again that even a dollar a month, pledging a dollar a month, $12 a year may not seem like a whole lot, but it means the world to me. It helps me take care of the cost of producing this show, and I really appreciate it, and I'd appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to this episode. I moved to that because even back then, when airtime only cost 60, like 40, you could get airtime for 20 grand actually. But if you wanted all the prime, you were about 50 to 60 grand. Now it's like
I'm
120.
going to interrupt you real quick just because a lot of people I know don't understand. You pay them,
Oh,
unless
yeah.
you're on that geo, all right? If you're on the Outdoor Channel, you have to pay them to be
Absolutely.
on air, and you need to generate funds to pay for that, which is where you need sponsors. And so anyone can have a TV, say anyone,
Not,
just
yeah,
about
almost anyone. Yeah, just about
almost
anybody.
anyone, if you've got a big checkbook. It's like my lawyer. When I went through a divorce, he was explaining to me, most lawyers look at it, you got 5 grand, you got a case. Yeah, let's go at it. You got money for airtime, you got a TV show. Some people that are inherently wealthy can get on there whether they've killed anything or not, or have much knowledge or not. And so I just Because I get so many questions about that. Why don't you and Frank start a TV show? And I'm like, because I don't like losing money. I don't want the stress. But anyway,
It's stressful as shit, man. It's
I can
tough.
only imagine. It's stress I
Especially
want
if you
more of.
have sponsors. Like back in the day, man, I had a few sponsors that were like, we need you to have X amount of kills on screen and this and this and that. And you're like, it's like, fuck, you know, that's a lot of
They
pressure to be putting up here,
don't
you
just
know?
tip over, right? Just because they're on
Yeah,
a
you
TV
know,
show.
we're talking about bow hunting here. It's 20% success rate across the board, you know, worldwide. You know, you're
Lower in
asking a
some
lot.
areas.
But yeah, no, so like it's funny. I wrote this article and I didn't publish it because it kind of just it bashed way too many people, and not people specifically, but too many groups. And I was like, you know what, this is against what I'm trying to promote right now anyway, so I'm like not gonna let it go. But so in the early 90s, if you were published in a magazine, you were the real deal. If you had a TV show, you were the real deal. Because yes, anybody with money can buy a you know, airtime. But sponsors only sponsored people that had a resume. Okay. Then it became about who's got a bigger following, who's got, you know, who could turn more heads, blah, blah, blah. So it didn't really matter. And then there was, you know, then it just like everybody's, oh, I want a TV show. I want to do it. And then the pro staff thing came along. Like, I mean, there was always pro staff, but it was never. It meant now it's promotional staff. When it was presented to me, pro staff meant professional. Like you were a professional guy. You know, you were part of the pro team. And you know, Facebook and freaking Instagram and whatever, mostly Facebook. But it was like, everybody has their hand out. Oh, can I have, you know, I have X amount of followers. I get, you know, so. The information just got washed out. Like now people go online and they don't know who to fucking trust. They're like, do I trust, you know, Joe Schmo because he's got 65,000 followers on Instagram and he's, you know, cheerleading for freaking Kuyu or whatever. I don't know. Is that the right way to go? Or am I getting an honest opinion, or is that guy getting paid to do it, or is he just doing it because he's getting free shit? And now it's like nobody knows where to go. Like in my life, and it was business-wise, it was a stupid decision for me. Like, I mean, just give you for instance, I had a $10,000 and a free fucking truck from every year from Chevy, but I let them go because I couldn't. For my work, I love that truck. Oh my God. The instrumentation, ride on the road, great. Take that shit off-roading, take a client out in that truck, and you get beat the f it goes everywhere you want it to go, but it's such a stiff ride, it beat the shit out of me. And it was like I couldn't do it anymore, you know? I mean, I don't know, can't tell you how many times I was approached by different bow companies. Oh, will you come shoot for us? You know, and I always stuck with Matthews because that's what I was comfortable with. That's what they stood behind me. They were also the first people to, you know, back me freaking 2001, you know? And I was like, it was really stupid of me because I left a lot of money out there and I could have did really well with the show, financially, but I always stuck with the people and the things that I liked, and the stuff that I liked using. I knew guys that would have a TV show. They would use one product and say they were using another just for the TV show. I mean, like that's some fucking bullshit right there, man. I mean, that's just, I get it because it's a business and it's tough. It's a freaking cutthroat business, man. I mean, I don't know what the statistic is, but it's something like 87% of TV shows don't even break even. You
I
know,
would believe that. Well, and
it's stupid.
you look at
So.
the go ahead.
No, I was just, I mean, I don't want to get on a high horse here, but it's like the integrity in this business, it fucking went a long time ago. A long time ago. I mean, there's still guys out there that are real deal. There's still excellent hunters out there that are not posers or whatever. then they're going to use what they want to use because, like me, my hunting's more important than whatever recognition I'm getting for using product X or whatever money I'm getting from product X. I don't rely on that to live, you know? If I did, it might be a different story, but I don't know.
We just did a podcast that I don't think I can post because I had two outfitters and guides in here that went off on different people in the industry and social media, and it was very, I mean, if we post it, it'll probably be one of the most listened to podcasts in the history of podcasts, but there was a lot of name dropping on there of bashing, which is can cause me some turmoil, but what we did talk about was extremely valid. So if you take, you know, and I came up with the gear survival backcountry hunting, mm-hmm. those are things I feel confident that, you know, expert or not or whatever, I can give you some very valid info on any gear, right? Mm-hmm. From optics all the way down to socks and survival. My field craft is top notch. Then you start getting into, let's say, like trophy hunting and tactics. Not really my bag. You know, I kill stuff every year, but I'm not a trophy hunter. And, you know, tactics wise, I'll get you there, but there's better. So not my wheelhouse. Frank and I stay out of that, right? We'll talk about it some, but, okay. So if you pick you're in Arizona. If you're going to pick five guys to go with you on a mule deer hunt, not because they're friends, but because you want to kill a big mule deer, who would they be?
Dwayne Adams. Travis McClendon.
Yeah, he came up. He was one. Greg Crow was another.
Greg. Greg. I know Greg's here, and we have actually a very close mutual friend. But I always think of Greg as Nevada for some reason because he's always killing big shit in Nevada. Not that he doesn't kill big shit here, but he can.
but he's another guy now.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
Now, what's this guy's social media following?
Yeah.
Pretty non-existent. And yeah. Greg's probably got 10,000 or something. Yeah. And Doyle Moss, who's loved and hated by many, both. But social media following Greg or Mossback's pretty good, or Doyle's pretty good. But okay, now take who has the highest social media following that you look at today. Not a lot of trophies on those walls on some of the guys that have the highest social media following, and people take advice from those people. Mm-hmm. And this is where it got real ugly on the podcast we did. And in my opinion, if you want some general info on sheep hunting, I can help you out. Mule deer. Yep. High country mule deer, elk, general info. Yeah, I'm going to help you. But in general, I'm pushing you to someone else. Mm-hmm. I'm not, Jay Scott and I aren't exactly best friends, but Jay Scott's a guy that he's going to be able to give you some. When I say bet, we don't know each other. I don't think I've ever met him. But he's a guy that is going to have some solid info. Chris Rowe, I can name off a bunch.
Right, right.
Not great social media followings. And if you got into a social media insta-famous battle, those guys are going to lose.
Oh, yeah. I freaking lose every day.
You should be listening to those guys, right?
I lose every day on social media.
And that's what I was trying to convey to people. Like, some of the info, I mean, if you've killed a grouse and a forked horn and you got 180,000 followers, you don't want to like take any advice from them. You're not gaining knowledge from social media followers. And, there's nothing wrong with social media. I think it's awesome. I think it's great to have a ton of followers. It gets lots of people into the outdoors. But when it comes to putting boots on the ground, you probably don't want to take advice from me running an ultra marathon. Never fucking done it. Don't know what I'm doing. Hate running.
Me too.
You want to take advice from guys that do it, right? So that's the kind of thing like you talked about. Okay, you don't backpack hunt anymore. But you put animals down with what you've do. So that means you've done your research. You learn the unit, right? You're entering a very populated area when you hunt. Okay? You gotta take advice from when you're doing that. So obviously this spiraled down the shitter quick on ours.
I can imagine.
It was horrible. But when you talk about social media, there's so many good things that come from it, but there's a lot of bad too.
Oh,
and you skip I'm assuming from your accent, you're from N New
New
York.
York.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but in New York, tons of hunters in New York.
Tons.
Okay. Then you don't have to be out west to be a real hunter. Meaning, but you, whether you're from back east, Midwest, out west, most people in the age demographic we're in or before, when there was no social media or cell phones,
Right.
you were raised hunting. You were that, you know, you didn't pop out the womb, but some people did, but at a
Right.
young age, you skipped school. Your dad took you out of it for
Since 5 years
openers.
old.
Yep, you learned to gut a deer, you learned to track, you learned firearm safety, you learned the do's and don'ts. Some people didn't listen to him like me. I was dumb as a kid, and hell yeah. But now you skip all that shit. You can skip it all. You can start, and then you have the gear, right? You're going beast mode. You're working out, right? You're doing push-ups every day, all veiny and shit, posting photos. You got the best gear money can buy. You can't tune your bow, but Jesus Christ, you got the best one out there. You don't know shit about it, but you got it. And then you go and you put an animal down. All right, well, when it finally happens, okay, how much meat's wasted because they didn't know how to take care of it? How many animals were blown out for guys trying to kill big stuff because they didn't learn? They spent every day in the gym, but God forbid they actually learned animal behavior. A lot of
That's
this is
huge.
public. Yeah, animal behavior. I
That's the
got a lot
biggest.
of
I think that's
animals in
I put
the
all
woods.
my
They're good
I put
shit.
all my wheat in that almost
Yeah,
animal behavior.
I think it is extremely important. I'm a fitness junkie. I work out every day. I don't post selfies in the gym. I'll answer some technical question for some guys that are fatties like me. Like I'm generally a fat kid, so I can help you out there. But nothing beats. I mean, how do you think fat guys get it done every year? They know animal behavior. They know what they're doing. They know how to hunt. They know field craft.
Oh yeah.
And I, of course, I get bashed for this, and people get mad at me, but sometimes people might want to possibly stop flipping over tires and learn animal behavior. I mean, learn field craft,
Oh yeah.
learn how to survive in the woods. I mean, for example, when you blow of a deer out in the high country, when you blow that deer out, he's taking what's called an escape route out. When he takes that escape route out, it's important one to follow it to see where he's going, what he does. And then it's important to have the physical ability to go maybe where his escape route went to or whatever. But those things that people don't understand about general elk rut in the same spot every year. I mean, pretty much, right?
Pretty
Mule
close,
deer.
unless the habitat changes a whole bunch, which I just
Something
experienced.
burns. It's not, yeah, something burns to shit, right? Or
Yeah.
whatever. But yeah. Mule deer, same thing. Every year they take this more or less, they're in the same areas every year. Why does one basin that looks identical to another basin, same amazing feed, water, they've got everything they need. Why does one basin have mule deer and one doesn't? For the most part, if it's cliffed out, there's no escape terrain. They got nowhere where to go. So if you're scouting on Google Earth quickly and you see this amazing basin, you come from Iowa, you stroll into that basin for the life of you can't figure out why there's no deer there. May not be escape terrain, for example. Those
The
things
other
are learned. What's that?
I was gonna say the other thing is juxtaposition. So like that basically means where the water and the feed and the escape route and the bedding,
Yep.
how they all where they are in
Intertwined.
relationship, where they are in relationship to each other. So you might have a giant bowl basin and the water's way down at the bottom and the feed's way up at the top. And so it has all the components, but it's not, deer are lazy. Not really. They're not
Yeah.
really lazy, but they're built to conserve energy.
Yeah.
So they're going to
And not be
find,
as exposed. They
right,
don't,
exactly.
yep. Yeah. Well, and those are the kind of things where guys are trying to help them out, where I'm like, hey, you can't just show up out west anymore. Like, it is because of Peckerwoods like you, me, and a bunch of other guys promoting it.
Yeah.
The backcountry is not
It's
the
not back country
untamed.
anymore.
No, we were 9 miles in and had seven guys by me.
Wow.
So that just is an example. And it wasn't 9 easy miles. You know, it's
Oh, I bet.
gaining 4,000 plus. So I don't know how we got on this tangent other than talking about that podcast. I'm still sitting here contemplating if I should release. But,
Bleep out all the
let's,
names.
What's that?
Bleep out all the names.
Jesus, the whole thing would be a bleep.
Shit.
It was, I keep getting texts from these guys like, release it, don't be a pussy. And I'm like, well, that's easy for you to say. Your phone's not going to ring it off the hook after I release the damn thing.
Right. It's hard to be in a spot where you need to be somewhat PC, you know, somewhat, you know. Yeah. It's your show. You do what you want with it. I'm the same way. I've kind of, but at the same time, like I've been trying to promote, you know, I was calling it the Hunter Up Initiative. And just, I want people just to be, you know, I really don't give a shit if this guy is all about gym selfies or whatever. He's promoting hunting. I'm happy with him promoting hunting. You know, Mark Smith put it best to me. I had him and Randy on a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about some of this stuff also, and he said, as long as you're not out there saying, you know, own up to what it is that you are, you know, where you are in the pecking order, and you're not, or like if you go and shoot like this giant freaking 400 inch elk or whatever on a ranch and you're trying to sell it as a, you know, a public land hunt or something like that, you know, don't portray yourself as this when you're this. Yep. Otherwise I got no problem. I mean, I have no problem with, obviously, because I'd be a freaking hypocrite because I guide. So I have no problem with people using guides. I have no problem with, you know, people going to private land hunts. Shit, I've done plenty of private land hunts when I can afford it or whatever. I mean,
I'm just starting to lean towards them myself. Yeah,
it's fun. It's more enjoyable when you got the place to yourself, you know, and the deer aren't all freaking boogered up or whatever. But, you know, it's just like, do what you say you're going to do. Don't portray yourself differently than you really are. And you know, that's it. Everybody else should just shut the freaking mouth and just be happy that hunting is still around, because, you know, you keep wasting time bashing on each other. It's not going to be here for very much longer.
Oh yeah. Know? No. And I agree. And make sure I'm not taken out of context here. Like, well, and I had said, those guys that do a lot of like the gym stuff, mm-hmm. they're catering to a crowd that gets people into hunting, and it's great. Where Absolutely. I think that things get kind of unraveled is exactly what you just said, when they promote something maybe they're not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, as many people as we can get hunting as we can mm-hmm. is a bonus. And from an internal level is where the stuff gets a little squirrely, like, you know, the 400 inch bull on private land, and then they're posting about doing public stuff. That's more internal than external, meaning that's not really converting antis or mid road guys to hunting or non hunting. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff we talk about, and it can't be broken down. It's not, one's not mutually exclusive of the other. I mean, or whatever, like, it's great to have all these different guys that are just coming from the gym world into hunting because of the paleo deal, right?
Right.
That's great.
Wanting to eat organic meat and well,
yeah. It gets more people into hunting. Where I just get a little bit squirrely is if you're putting somebody's potential life in danger, which is a little extreme to say that because you're mm-hmm. giving them bad info. That's irritating. The other thing that bothers me is them wasting hard-earned money to try to come out west because they're promoting a product that sucks. That kind of irritates me, right? I agree 100%. You know, if you're out there and you're hunting, great. I make fun of gym selfies to my buddies, mm-hmm. and they make fun of me being introverted and no one liking me, and it's an internal funny deal or
whatever. Right.
That doesn't bug me, but I mean, Mark's a good example. Like, Mark and I knew each other when I meet Mark. 2000, maybe 2001 time frame, mm-hmm. Before he was the Muley Slayer, right? He was just Mark, driving a service van for Carrier Refrigeration, I think, if I remember correctly.
Right.
But Mark's always got it done, right? He's always putting animals on the ground, mm-hmm. big, small, in between, everything. But he was also, you look at Mark was raised in an era where that's what you did before social media. Now, I make fun of Mark for taking gym selfies too. He's a guy that he's every day he's in the gym taking a picture. He's stuck in Texas now. What else is he going to do, right? I mean, he can't go in the mountains anymore. But Mark's a guy who's consistently been out there, you know, putting animals on the ground for 30 years. He's pushing 50 now. He's getting gray. He just got back from a hunt and put a nice mule deer on the ground. I saw him and talked to him. But he's a guy where things have changed for him a lot. I mean, how old are you?
I'm 43.
Yeah, so we're all in the same boat. Mark's a little bit older than us. Didn't have cell phones when you were a kid, right? Didn't really have internet until I'd say what internet became pretty prevalent.
96.
What 2000? Yeah, I was gonna say 2001, 2002, where everybody probably had it.
Right.
Cell phones. We're probably 97, 98, where everybody started having a cell phone. So, like Frank here, Frank's 12 years younger than me, my partner in crime. And yes, explaining to him, I'm like, dude, we didn't have any of that shit. And he didn't even, he forgets, right? I'm like, we couldn't just hop online and go to Google Earth. It's like I didn't have a computer, let alone we had Oregon Trail, right? I mean, we didn't
and fucking Pong.
Well, and we talk about, well, I'm such a stickler with land nav and reading a map. I'm like, dude, we didn't have this shit when I was a kid. Like
I've gotten so bad with that.
You know, and do it the hard way, and I've gone to an extreme where I'm kind of too much of a stickler, but we didn't get to skip because skipping wasn't an option. You didn't get to skip any of the stuff. You can skip a lot now.
You can.
Know, big, bad, or in between. You can skip pretty much anything you want. But hunting is one of the only. You can't pay for a basket right at basketball. If you're in the NBA, you can hoop right.
Right.
You can buy some animals. You can pay. You can buy animals. Hunting is one of the only, you know, quote unquote sports or activities that you can. And I'm not bashing guides at all, but what I'm saying is you can have a very impressive trophy room and no dick about hunting, no dick about animal behavior, scoring, whatever, because it can be bought. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the do-it-yourself guys that, you know, to collect what you have on your wall there may take 15 years because it's public land to it yourself. It's a pain in the ass. So, getting along, though, is seems to be difficult for everyone to do. That is one thing we can probably all agree on. Good Lord.
Well, that's because it's such a chest-beating sport. It's a look-at-me sport.
Yeah.
You know? And anytime you see somebody, and I've caught myself doing it, you know, you see somebody that kills something and it's this giant 200 and you're like, what? I don't kill 200 fucking 20 inch deer. What the fuck? What's wrong with me? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I've killed a couple good sized deer and a couple animals that people would be like, you know, impressed with, I guess. But for the amount, like the percentage of that I've killed versus the that are in that category, that's a real small percentage, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things that you're like, and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, they make it worse because you post something and you're like, you're expecting to get like X amount of likes on it. And it just makes you feel bad about yourself because you didn't get that, you know, response.
Yeah. And I mean, a door swings, there's a couple, like there's one, like you talked about, you know, I don't kill deer like that. Or you start picking it apart, right? Mm-hmm. God forbid you have happiness for a person, which I've really checked myself on that of, meaning if it's public land, I don't care, cow, spike, whatever.
Right.
I want to hear the story or whatever, but you see a guy potentially extremely out of shape and not, you know, maybe what you would consider a go-getter, and cranks a giant animal.
Right.
And then immediately, rather than being happy for the guy, you think, he probably shot on a private ranch. I wonder who is
that. Or he got lucky or whatever, you know, dumb luck, whatever. Yeah, exactly. You automatic, and that's everybody's first. And I really have tried so hard not to do that. Like every time I catch myself, I do want to say something because I mentioned we were talking about the gym selfies and all that stuff. Like, I'm a big proponent of fitness. I have been. I actually
I started a blog back in 2004, 2005 called Hunt Fit. Like before it was a popular thing to do. Cause yeah, I always felt cool like, thing, yeah. yeah, before it was cool. And you know, before the train to hunts and all that other shit. And I've been a part of that stuff. I even did a train to hunt race. But I never told people you need to do this to be successful. I always said, hey, if you want to be less miserable when you're hunting, you want to be able to go further, go longer. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and that can't be denied. Even it, your life is better when you're more fit.
Exactly. I mean, so I don't want people to think that we were bashing them as well.
And I've kind of given up on that worrying about it because people know I'm a huge proponent of fitness. I live in the gym. I work out as much as possible. But I'm also a huge proponent of being well-rounded.
Yeah.
And that's my thing or what my shtick is like, hey, put equal effort into all of them, you know, like put some effort into gear, put some effort into knowledge, put some effort into fitness. Cause I'm a fat kid, you know, I used to be extremely unhealthy and I know how much better I feel. And so that's one of the reasons, like, I love when guys message me and be like, hey man, I'm a fat kid just like you. What do you think for a diet? Because, one of the things I learned for dieting advice is, do you really want to take diet advice when you're a fat guy from a stick figure? Mm. I don't. It's like, how do you know what it's like, you motherfucker? You've been 150 pounds your whole life, man. I was 150 pounds in sixth grade, right? Like, maybe. I might have been more. So some of the guys I like being kind of a sounding board for them, be like, dude, I've been there. It's tough. You know, I love double fist and peanut butter and throwing some bananas and ice cream in there. Yeah, I'm like, I know how you feel. And so I think fitness is huge. I agree with you 100%. I also think that if you live in the gym the entire time, the chance of you killing something are quite a bit slimmer than maybe a fat guy that gets out in the woods a lot.
It's just,
I don't mind throwing, I'm harsh about saying that, you know, the F word, right? Fat shaming. I feel comfortable that I can fat shame because I was fat.
Right.
So I don't feel as bad about fat shaming because I'm a step away myself. I just actually today went and got my testosterone blood levels, all those checked, did a body mass index, and because I'm getting older. And the technology is insane. So
isn't it?
And I'm going to talk to these people as the time goes on doing a podcast with them.
Mm-hmm.
The state-of-the-art facility. And so I go in, I get body mapped, I get all this stuff done, they check my blood levels, and they have a machine. It tells me how big my right arm is, how big my left arm is, how big around this one is, what it weighs compared to this one, because this is also a bodybuilding competing place for competitors. And I told them, I said, look, I said, I'm only in here because going to a doctor about this is futile in the lifestyle that I have. And when I say futile, it can be hard to break down to them what I just spent 90 days backpack hunting. I'm a little bit worried where my metabolic rate is. Am I burning 2,000 now or I burn 1,100 because I haven't eaten enough, right?
Right,
and
right.
This program tells me right now I'm burning 2,375 calories a day just sitting there.
Oh, that's your BMR? Wow.
They were like, Why are you here? And I'm like, honestly, so I can get some tests if I need it. To be totally truthful with you, I want to know if my test is low, like I'm getting old. And they were laughing. I'm like, yeah, I'm not shitting you. I'm serious. Like, I've had enough people tell me at my age I should be checked because I had done steroids before. Uh-huh. I've had some head injuries just to see where I'm at. And they were like, well, here's your body fat, your body mass. This is what your body weighs without bones. And it broke all of this down. And I was like, I got to get these people in on the podcast because
that's huge.
That graph doesn't lie, right? They were like, how much water do you drink a day? And I'm like, 120 ounces. They're like, you are one of the most hydrated people we've seen, to a point you might want to cut back. Like you are. But you think about this, talking about technology, not just social media, but even the level of what we have at our fingertips to stay fit, stay at a nutritional level that we didn't have. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom cooked horribly. Those big ass 500 calorie muffins. Mm-hmm. My mom couldn't cook very well. Cans of chili and shit, and horrible. I wish I would have learned all this earlier because of how much better I feel
now. Yeah.
So not to go on my tangent about fitness, but this place I just came back from was
pretty intense.
I didn't think I would come out of it wanting any more anything more than knowing where my levels were.
Right.
And I'm like, they have a hydration station where I can go in. They can see how hydrated I am, and they'll pump me with IVs if I'm dehydrated.
That's crazy.
Dude, you know how big that is as a backpack hunter?
That's nuts.
That's huge, because I used to give them to myself. Right. And I can go in there, and they can say, yeah, dude, you're super hydrated, and they can pump the amount I need into me. Did you have that in 1995? No.
No.
Walk in and step on a deal and say, yeah, you're dehydrated.
So yeah.
Anyway, I'll quit talking. But yeah, I was pretty impressed with that.
Oh, I would be too, man. That's nuts. Like, I started working out at a pretty advanced facility, Triple Threat Performance. And the guy, Ethan Banning, that runs it, he's like strength and conditioning coach for like Carolina Panthers and all kinds of ball players. He was a ball player himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I started doing all this training, like the hip dude, he's got, for back extensions, he's literally got like 12 freaking different variations. Like, I mean, just nuts stuff. Like, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. And I'm like, I have a degree. My bachelor's degree is in corporate fitness and wellness. I used to be a physical therapist freaking back in the day. And, fitness has always been a part of my deal. And then I went to get my master's degree in rangeland management and ecology, because I had this, love for the outdoors and whatnot. But which I don't use, by the way. Obviously, I own a pool company. Anyway, so
it
like
happens.
When
whatever pays the bills, really.
Yeah, no, right. But I enjoy all that stuff, man. Like my buddy Charles Whitman, he's actually just started a company for hunters, and he just sent me this. I haven't really screwed with it much. It's Somaderm, basically. It promotes your GH, your growth hormone.
It's a cream, you just rub it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna mess with it here, we'll see. Yeah, because I mean, this study, he's been doing it for however much time, but he's seen a giant difference, like in his activity level and his metabolic rate and everything. Because if you have your GH levels, and of course you testosterone too needs to be there, but if it's at that right levels, you perform so much better, and you get better sleep, you get everything's just better. So,
well, because the way that I am, my own personal personality is I probably won't ever be good at golf because my heart's not in it, but I got into photography and went full bore, right? Or I got mm-hmm. into bow hunting. It's the same thing for me with the diet and nutrition stuff. When I say full bore, meaning the fact that they could dissect this, and like you're talking about with the growth, your growth hormone levels and your test levels. Yeah, if you don't know, they're all jacked up. I mean, I think, not to get back on, like you're talking about, a true master of what they do, right?
Uh-huh.
Being in the presence of someone that can help you at that level, like Tom Klum with Rocky Mountain with traditional mm-hmm. archery. Having someone in front of me earlier today at that level that can instruct me is priceless when it comes to happy living, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And you start to talk about the fat shaming and whatever else, and when somebody first finds God, right, they want to hop on every pedestal they can, and because it's changed their life, and they want to
mm-hmm.
they want to tell you, all right, it's all helped right. them. But then people that aren't at that level think, get out of my face, a-hole, all right, I don't want to hear that shit. And
right.
It's no different with diet and nutrition. Like trying to nudge your buddy a little bit, like, hey man, quit stuffing the ho-hos down your mouth, right? You're gonna be happier. Right. And they're like, oh, okay, Mr. Whatever Quinoa, get the fuck out of my face. and trying to get that point across without coming off as a total dick can be difficult. And if you start off or if you're enamored by that, like it'd be, I'd be enamored by that, your buddy you were just talking about, the guy that is your trainer. How often do you get a guy at that level that's going to help you know, and take full advantage of it? I went to the ATA show 2 years ago. I would have to say I was not enamored at the ATA show. At the airport, I looked back. Brian Shaw was behind me, 5-time World Strongest Man. I was enamored then. I literally looked like I was like, dude, you are the man. And then he ended up sitting by me in the plane, which
Oh,
was
that's
awesome.
cool.
You know, nicest guy in the world. I hope he wins. He lost last year to Eddie. I hope he wins this year. But you talk about like a guy like that, picking that dude's brain about how to
Oh, yeah.
become superhuman. How many guys are like him in the world?
No,
15?
no.
Maybe, you know? So taking advantage of stuff like that when you can, I think is, what is it, pride, right? Like, they don't want to listen because they're too prideful to listen about dieting. Is it because they actually know it's going to have to work to not double fist and bear claws? You know, so there's a lot of that stuff that I know I've tried to work on to get the point across a little bit better, that a healthy lifestyle is a better one. You can't argue. Hike up the side of a hill. Can you say you're happy when you get to the top and you're almost about to die, or you're looking at the guy in front of you thinking, that dick? You know,
Exactly.
yeah.
Oh, Jesus, man.
No matter how no matter what.
But
Even deep
you know
down.
what I've done, because I found myself preaching a little bit too much in the past, is you come to me for advice, I'll give you advice, but I usually don't. I try not, like when I'm like at the gym or whatever, if I see somebody screwing around, like not doing things right, I don't
Yeah,
go correct
never
them anymore.
doesn't
I used
work.
to. I'd be like, you know what? Hey, buddy, you're gonna hurt yourself doing it this way. And same thing with hunting, I used to delve out advice whether it was asked of me or not, and I was like, you know what? They're just gonna think I'm a douchebag. I'm trying to
Yeah,
help them, but you're just gonna think I'm a douchebag. So
you
now,
nailed it there. You can't do it, man. No one takes good at, I mean, whether you have the best of intentions or not, it does not come across
exactly. It's not gonna
well.
come across right. So
Yeah. Well, and you like tuning wise, like I don't know how many, like we get a
I
lot of
suck at tuning. I don't give tuning advice.
well, we get a lot of tuning questions here, and you know, from Trad and the compound side, and obviously, so I have my hands full enough just answering questions people are asking me. But I would say probably 10 or 12 years ago, I walked up to a guy just to let him know how to execute a trigger properly. Best of intentions. Did not go over well. The guy got violently pissed. That was the day I stopped helping people,
I've never had
just
that
out of the
bad.
goodness of my heart. Well, he just said, well, what made you an expert? And I said, well, I'm not an expert, but I've got a pretty good handle on operating that. And you seem to be struggling pretty bad, man. I can help you out. And he just looked at me and said, I didn't ask for your fucking help. And I'm
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
no, you didn't, man. I didn't mean any disrespect. I was just kind of watching you, and you look like you were really struggling. You don't look happy. You know, so I just figured, and that was like the last time where I don't care if you're literally launching fucking arrows into a car, you're gonna keep on launching them. I'm probably not gonna stop you because it's just not worth it.
No, I know. It sucks. It sucks the world's that way. And it's getting more and more that way.
Yeah. I can't say I'm not that way. If somebody's walked up to me and started giving advice, generally, actually, if they're pretty damn good, I'm gonna listen. But
Oh yeah,
Joel
I am too.
Turner, the Shot
Joel.
IQ guy, he did that to me. It didn't go over very well. Out of the blue, he's standing behind me, he crossed his arms. He's like, so what'd you just shoot at? And I was like, I didn't. I just shot some arrows to warm up. He's like, well, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, all right. And I grabbed him, and he did it again. And then I packed up my shit and left.
Oh, shit.
I wasn't mean to him or anything. It was just awkward for me or whatever. And I've got, I kind of serve one master. Tom Clum's my coach, and that's the guy I'll listen to, you know. But the tuning thing, well, that could be a whole nother podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just on the amount of people that you took 100 guys in a row and had them, you know, if their max distance was 40 yards, shot field tips out of that 100 people in a row, how many's broadheads are going to hit in the same spot of their field tips if you just grabbed them out of a crowd? I think that number is probably in the 10 to 15% range. And that's something too, trying to get that kind of info out there to help people.
I know enough to be dangerous. That's about it.
Yeah, but you know that you know enough to be dangerous.
I know enough to fix my shit in the field if I had to, I could fumble through it. I could build you a longbow, but I can whip you up a Flemish twist string, but when it comes to compounds, I'm fucking terrible. And even though I've been shooting them for God knows how long, 30 years.
Well, it's kind of like math too. What's the word? You can lose it. It's something that can a perishable skill.
Right.
It's not like riding a bike. You can kind of lose your edge on tuning. And the other thing too is your mentality. Some guys are if I had to sit there and reload bullets, Jesus, I'd probably shoot myself to stop.
Yeah, I don't.
But
do it.
My cousin I can does fletch it for me. I can fletch arrows all day, build strings and tune, doesn't bug me. But man, you comes to like start talking about MOAs and ballistic coefficients, you've lost me. You might as well talk about trigonometry. It's just not my thing.
Right. Yeah.
You gun hunt some though, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, what's your preferred rifle of choice?
I have a 300 RUM.
Yeah.
That I use for pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a Best of the West built it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a proof research barrel. I kind of did a bunch of research and I gathered all the things that I liked and put the gun together. It's the whole gun's 7 pounds with scope and everything. It's got a Husqvarna scope on it. Mechanically excellent scope. Optically, it could be a little bit better. But all around, great, great shooting rifle. Have a Huber Concepts break and their dual stage trigger on it makes a world of difference, because you start squeezing, you don't know the trigger's gonna go off and it goes off. I mean, it's a shooter, it's a freaking quarter MOA gun.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's pretty ridiculous. I probably do about 2 rifle hunts a year.
Yeah,
I would say. Generally, like either a coos deer hunt or something like that.
I've hunted coos deer once. I could see why that'd be a rifle hunt. It sucks with a bow.
I said to myself this year, I'm going to try to do it with the crossbow during the rifle season.
Yeah, give it a whirl.
Yeah, I Matthews is going to send me that sub one, so I should be able to shoot to 100 yards anyway. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. We'll see how well I do in New York with the recurve. I got to get a couple of wins on the board here. I started feeling inadequate right now.
Yeah.
Shit. So anyway, cool. Man.
Well, yeah, I probably should wrap up here pretty quick. I keep having
to same here.
By,
I got.
Which usually is
I got.
Fine.
I just looked at my text message. I got workers standing outside my house waiting to come in here to fix. I told you I got a freaking leak in my house. It was anyway. Well, it was good having you on. I definitely want to have you on again, and we'll actually get into something. Maybe talk a little bit about trad hunting and a little bit about tune in or something. Something maybe you think is in your wheelhouse. Get to those stories that we were going to talk about that we didn't talk about today.
No, that sounds good, man. I appreciate having me on. And yeah, when things calm down, we'll definitely maybe do a recap of the season anyway.
Yeah, that's probably good. Yeah, right after the season would be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So cool.
Yeah, if you want to come out, if you want to come out in January for coos or muleys, or want to shoot a pig in February or something like that, in javelina with your recurve, that's real doable. That's what I usually shoot with my recurve. Or the
javelina thing, definitely. The mule deer thing, probably. There's no way I would. I
bring
barely
the compound.
Got a coos deer on the ground, and it was over 100 with the compound, and things are on crack.
Yeah, they are. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I've been living here my whole life. I've only shot 3 with my bow. So, all right, man. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good rest of the season.
Good. Thanks, man. Bye. You too.
Thanks. Bye. Hey guys, want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. on the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of posts that go hand-in-hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews, plus we have the signature T-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food T-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.